In just 2 weeks, the Olympic trials in track and field will take place in Eugene, Oregon, a town famous for its love of the sport. But even in so-called Tracktown USA, it's easy for spectators to focus on running while field events like pole vaulting get lost in the background. So some elite pole vaulters have taken their sport to the streets. Ann Marshall reports from Louisville, Kentucky.
On Friday evenings, downtown Louisville's neon strip, known as 4th Street Live, attracts those looking for a cocktail or hamburger. Clubs and restaurants line the open-air venue, closed to car traffic. But tonight, the most exciting bar sits high in the air. 6 men and 6 women wearing sweats and racing spikes take turns sprinting towards it on a 140-foot-long raised runway constructed of wood and rubber. Casey Macher works at one of the nightclubs and huddles with 2 other co-workers outside on this chilly gray evening.
I worked yesterday during the day when they were setting it all up, and they were building this wooden thing that, I mean, they built it all like right here, and I had to go up and ask one of them what they were even doing it for, and they said pole vaulting. I was like, really? You've got to be lying.
Just a few feet away, some of the country's best pole vaulters practice for the first ever Vault in the Ville. One of them, Chip Hauser, a local with platinum blonde spiky hair, organized this very public competition. He breaks from his warm-up to explain why.
It's unique in the fact that, you know, human beings are throwing themselves, you know, women 15 feet in the air, men 18, 19 feet in the air, under their own power. You know, they're not using anything, no sails, none of that. It's all pure athleticism.
It's the circus act of track and field. But at a track meet, the inner oval where field events occur isn't a great showcase venue. Sprinters and hurdlers flash by, capturing much of the attention. With so-called street vaults, casual passers-by stop and watch. Take Jan Duckworth and her daughter visiting from Tennessee. Both dressed in sundresses and sweaters, they're in town for a wedding.
So just wandered right up, and I used to run track in college, so this was, it just caught our attention. Just missed the guy go over.
Yes.
So never seen anything like this in the middle of a city like this.
Street vaulting isn't new. It's quite popular overseas. Jeff Hartwig, a 2-time Olympian in Atlanta and Beijing, who broke several American records during his long career, has catapulted himself in a host of odd locations.
You can set up a runway literally anywhere, and in my own career, especially in Europe, I've had the opportunity. I've jumped in beaches, I jumped in a bullfighting ring in southern France, I've jumped in shopping malls, and these street events become much more attractive because even here today we have a number of athletes that are very likely to compete for a spot on the Olympic team. And in comparison with trying to do a full-blown track meet, this is something where you can actually bring the sport to the people, and it makes for great entertainment as well as an opportunity for the athletes to compete.
Now a coach and agent living in St. Louis, Hartwig appreciates the marketing aspect of street vaulting. As the competition begins, music cranks up. A couple hundred spectators file into the competition space. Even more pack into balconies.
All right, let's hear it for Chris. He wants some cheering. He wants some clapping. Help him get up and over this height.
Pole in hand, a compact man with a shaved head sprints down the runway, past patrons at an Irish pub and a whiskey lounge. The pole hits the metal box, bends, and he springs up only to clip the bar resting at about 16 and a half feet. You might think the music, faint cigarette smell, and activity would create distractions. Not so, says Darren Niedermeyer, a lanky 30-year-old from Illinois. He's qualified for this month's trials in Oregon, but only at the minimum height. He feels the evening's energy could help him reach his personal best, close to 19 feet, and secure a spot at the trials.
We like people to be rowdy. We like them to be, you know, clapping for us and yelling for us, and it just gets this atmosphere like a party. You know, when you're out in the middle of a track, that's, you know, the size of a couple of football fields. You know, those spectators are a couple of football fields away from you. And when they're 10 feet from the runway and in your face and clapping, it's awesome.
Track and field, even at an elite level, doesn't typically draw a huge crowd in the U.S. it's usually parents or friends filling the stands. Tonight, many people who never attend meets stick around as men and women soar over the bar at 13, 14, 16, 17 feet.
Oh! I didn't touch it at all. That was beautiful. Wow.
Piff Hicks and her grandson Xavier know one of the women competing tonight. She babysits for Xavier, but they've never watched her in action. Now they can't get enough. As both shake their hips to the music, Piff leans over and asks Xavier, "You think you'd like to do it?" He shrugs a bit.
When you have those long legs.
I know.
And you're very quick and powerful.
I gotta push down hard and I can't do that.
You can't do that? Have you tried?
No.
No. Go, go, go!
After 2 hours of competition, the winning height for men peaks at 17 feet 9 inches. For females, 14.7.
Oh, nice!
Many had actually aimed to clear higher, but athletes have a few more chances to qualify for the Olympic trials. Organizer Chip Hauser, who placed second, walks away happy. His main goal? Win fans. Fans who will now view track and field as more than starting guns and finish lines. Maybe they'll tune into what's going on in the middle of the oval.
That's why we want to do things like this, so that people see, this is really cool. I'd rather see this than watch a person run around a track making left turns all day.
Full circle logic from a night of street vaulting. For Only a Game, I'm Ann Marshall in Louisville.